glory. So in the meantime, if you all got any question or what, you can ask and we can discuss it. Oh, may you say, sadhu. Oh, you told your sister about the retreat? Oh, sadhu. Oh, sadhu. 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 Ah, very good. This retreat make a lot of difference to me. Yeah, she benefited a lot. That's why the timing. First one was she was very new. Then the thought interfere. The thought cannot understand. Then this time, the nature starts to connect and feel and understand. Then the condition were all there. Then she came and talked to me. After I explained, wow, she understand. Yeah, she very happy. Now there is so much joy. And when she able to connect, she sees everything so differently. That's why retreat, you go there with sincerity, with faith, with confidence, a lot of things can happen because you never know your past. You may think you like very stupid or so-so, everything also don't have. But you never know. That's why I say, when the time comes, when you start to inherit, everything just unfolds, and you will be amazed. Your Dhamma is like that. That's why wonderful existence. True emptiness is wonderful existence. And for those who sincerely with the faith, you can go very far, I tell you. But this era, the sasana is still around, and in fact, is the best condition for mankind, for humanity, to actually come into contact with the Dhamma. Then if you really, really cultivate sincerely, you can progress very fast. Padmasuri also say, this time very different. Come back, oh, now like the path is very clear. You only need to devote yourself to walk it. Drunken by Dhamma. Very good. So now with the understanding and the clarity, everything is very different. That's why with the Dhamma, it can transform you completely, I tell you. Last time I used to say, it can transform you personality-wise, character-wise, understanding-wise, completely different. And now you understand what the meaning is. Even Alan, they all. Almost everyone. Well, Mifong also. There was so much joy. Her nature suddenly opened up. And because of the faith, then everything just went in. And so different this time. Then Ingby also. His first time really felt what I have been telling, the silence. Then how that silence really manifests. Then how she can feel the heartbeat. Then really the heartbeat starts to slow down. Then after that, there is this real silence inside. Then when she came back, I draw the two thoughts on the whiteboard. Then the space between thoughts. Straight away she understands. No? I say, this is the silence. This is the peace. This is the tranquility. This is the stillness. When you can have space between thought, means you don't think like before. You are more and more heedful. When you are more heedful, you got less thought. So when one thought arises, it will not condition the next thought like before. Before, when you are very heedless, the thought keep on proliferating, cannot stop. You want to stop thinking also cannot, because you have been so conditioned, habitual, and heedless. But when you train, especially in a retreat, you have so much beautiful condition. Then you learn how to silent. Then you realize when you are silent, there is hardly any thought because you anchor it to the heartbeat. Then the heartbeat slow down. Everything like very quiet, very still. And then after that, no thought. Then, for the next thought to arise, there is a space, there is a gap, which you never feel before. And this is silent. This is the true awareness without thought. That's why when she understood that, there was so much joy. And that few moments or space where there is no thought is your pure nature. And that one is very, very wholesome. To have even one moment of pure thought is already very powerful. You know what is pure thought? It's a thought, no, but without the evil root. Understand? But this one, pure awareness without thought, no, even more powerful. So a lot of people cannot understand. So that's why I explained to you. Those who went through the retreat, if you do it with understanding properly, the wholesomeness, the merits, the blessing is immeasurable, even though 9 days. You not only perform all the 10 meritorious actions, you do it with understanding, with the faith. And you are so mindful, your mind state was so different. So your virtue, you really keep your precept when you are there. Then you cultivate Noble Eightfold Path. Then you got so much joy, so much parami. Then you constantly investigate into the Dhamma, listen to the Dhamma, straighten your view. Then you rejoice, you transfer merit, you share merits. Then you provide service. Willingly you are so helpful, so considerate, so kind, so sincere, so full of humility, so full of gratitude, goodness, kindness. Then speak very gently, very softly and very heedfully. It's very different. Those who went through, they will know. That's why a retreat, you do it with understanding. There is a lot of meaning. Then the whole place, not only the nature, the energy, the environment, the devas, the non-human, and all the great beings, their nature, they are all there, ever radiating and shining for the true cultivator. When you have faith, there's a lot of things can happen, and a lot of them just connect, and a lot of joy, a lot of tears and all those things. Then there were a lot of things that happened while we were there. And they sometimes come through different means. And you can know them, you can witness them, you can see them. So these are all the beautiful aspects of Dhamma that the non-cultivator cannot really understand. But when you are within the spiritual field and spiritual training, you will start to witness all this. And these are just the beginning of a lot more things. As you move through, even next year will be different again. That's why I had this feeling end of last year that Dhamma will flourish this year for Kayanamitta, for those who are really with the sincerity, the faith, and the determination or the diligence. So hopefully with this, those who didn't go, don't worry. We already perform a lot of wholesomeness and blessing for you all too. Because the Tuesday class and Thursday class, Kayanamitta Fund donated quite a lot. Then we all rejoice and we send our blessings, everything. We wish all Kayanamitta well-being and happiness, then have the condition, causes and conditions, to really understand this Dhamma and diligently walk the path of Dhamma. So as Kayanamitta, a lot of advantage. Everything we do, we try our best to incorporate so that the condition can arise for all Kayanamittas to benefit. So this thing has resulted in tremendous improvement in the faith, the sadha. I think almost everyone who went there, the faith now is very different. The confidence in the Buddha and his teaching is very different now, and the path is so clear. The understanding is so clear. Now, the only thing left to be done is your own diligence, to walk this path sincerely. Okay, let's rejoice again. Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. Then, for those who didn't go, don't worry. The CD is there. Sian will try to get it out for us. It will be two CD. One for first session. Then there's another one for second session. They even book next year. The abbot also, I think he very wise. No? He saw Sui An show me. I said, never mind, we talk later. Then when I passed the paper to him, he said, in Mandarin, 这个是什么? He said, 明年的. I said, yes, 明年的. he very happy. This year around, he very happy. He know. We are different. So he was full of joy, the abbot. And Sifu Teng Siong also very good. He also had a lot of joy. He also sent a lot of things to Kayanamita. The thing that he gave you, keep it now. It's for your family blessing. The Leng Yuan Zhou and the other one is Ta Pei Zhou, I think. They do the chanting one. They put the like amulet like that, but they put in the place, the main shrine where they chant every day. So the vibration and all those things already went in, and it's very good. Christina also benefited a lot. She was also full of joy. She learned a lot of things now. Come, we are still early, another 4 minutes or so. let Padmasuri share. Padmasuri, pass the mic to her. She got a lot of things to tell the husband. Very good.
I already shared with him. And he said next year he wants to go.
Oh, sadhu, sadhu.
So, Brother Sian, next year book two places. This year because she need to take care of my daughter children, and my father-in-law. And my daughter, my father-in-law.
The duty is very important.
So he actually paved me the way.
Yeah, that's why you must thank him.
Yeah, I share. The first thing I see him, I say I share all my
everything,
marriage.
Everything. Just like that day we all share with all the beings. Then the other thing also, you make offering of breakfast and I think lunch or dinner.
Lunch. It's under both of us.
Yeah, both your whole both family. Very good. Very wholesome. Very good. You want to share anything or not? Now is the time. We still got 2-3 minutes.
So many things to know. Start from where?
Start from whatever come to you. Sadhu. Lian is here.
Brother Teo, actually after I come back, when I recollect my experience there, and I get linked to what I experienced.
Correct.
In one of the occasion when I go for this Maha Samaya Sutta chanting in Samadhi Vihara. So when I was driving, actually I saw the picture. I don't understand at that time. Suddenly The vision came is when I was driving the highway with all the lights, I just aware of the lights.
Correct.
No thought.
Then the vision came.
Yes. And
it's like that one.
I don't understand at that time.
At that time you don't understand.
For few days, because I've been going through the Vasa. Few days towards the end, I have that experience, but I don't understand. So when I go up there the other day, when I heard the gong.
It's exactly the same.
Only one is through seeing, and the other one
hearing.
Is through hearing.
That consciousness will be very different when you are there. Your awareness is different. Then you have the condition to actually develop that understanding.
Actually, I feel very nice at that time. Yeah. So that's why I keep on going, but I don't understand.
Yeah.
I don't understand what happened.
Yeah.
But after that experience, when I come back, I recollect, then I connect.
Yeah, very good, very good.
That's what I
feel. And you will know. That's why everything finally you will understand, you will know. Sadhu to you. Sadhu.
Thank you, Brother.
No problem. Okay, 8:30 we can start. Now almost all came. Those who went for the retreat one. Engvi also here. This one is Serena. Is it Serena? Serena. Yeah. Then Lian and who else? The other one was. Oh, me, I know. It's okay. Yeah, Ellen is there. Yeah. So we can start the puja. You compose your mind. Develop the very strong faith, sadha. Then pay respect mindfully. Then we will chant the salutation to the Buddha. Then we will take refuge. Then after that, renew our precepts. Then we rejoice. Okay. Okay, we will start the puja now. Namo tassa bhagavato arahato sama sambuddhassa. Namo tassa bhagavato arahato sambuddhassa. Namo tassa bhagavato arahato sama sambuddhassa. Buddhang saranang gacchami, Dhammang saranang gacchami, Sanghang saranang gacchami, Dityampi Buddhang saranang gacchami, Dityampi Dhammang saranang gacchami, Dityampi Sanghang saranang gacchami, Tatiyampi Buddhang saranang gacchami. Tatiyampi Dhammang saranang gacchami. Tatiyampi Sanghang saranang gacchami. Panatipata viramani sikkhapadang samadhiyami. Adina dana viramani sikha padang samadhiyami. Kamesu michachara viramani sikha padang samadhiyami. Musavada viramani sikha padang samadhiyami. Sura miraya majapamadatana Viramani sikha padang samadhiyami. Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. Okay, pay respect mindfully to Lord Buddha. Okay, just relax yourself. Then maintain some form of attention. Then we can start. Those who are caught in the jam, if they want apps, tell them not to hurry. Don't worry. If they cannot come, it's okay. No need to rush and purposely try to come. Just flow and accord with condition. If you are late, it's better to be late than to rush and arise unnecessary condition for mistake to happen. So sometimes when it rains, traffic can be very bad. So you use it to test your patience, then it's very good. Then you see how your mind every time want to react. So every time like the thought come and prompt you, I will be late. I must not be late. All these thoughts will come, but you forgot. The reality is, you already come out that time. You are caught in a jam. So that reality, you need to develop the understanding of it. So be it. Then you will be at peace. And when you are at peace, it's very different. You will be very surprised. When you are at peace, thing goes your way. Sometimes the traffic just clear. Then you will know how to go to the right lane. Then when you come, very surprised. Not too late. Or late also a little bit. And you have a lot of joy. Because when you don't have negativity, the condition for negative karma is actually almost completely cut off. Then you maintain the understanding. Then with that understanding, your mind is clear, peaceful, calm, no agitation, no reaction, no restlessness, no worry. The thought doesn't move. Then you start to see, oh, this is living. This is to be with the moment, to understand what is going on, not to react through the stirring of the mind, through the thought that try to interfere. Human beings' problem is they don't understand the power of thought to create all this delusion in you. All this, what they call reaction of mind, stirring of mind. Then sometimes when you don't understand, this mind has power over you. So it can actually cause you to worry about a lot of things which is not the reality. Because when you project your thought, it starts to stir. Then all this fear, worry, anxiety, or sometimes you say excitement will arise. So meditation is to understand clearly who you are, what you are, and how the form and mind delude you, condition you to react and stir, and how the hindrance take over and make you heedless. Without the hindrance, you are beautiful. With the spiritual faculty, you are beautiful. Okay, tonight, nobody new. Anybody first time here? Oh, good. So we save a lot of time. All know how to meditate already? Yeah? Nobody need instruction? Very good. So we can start. We can save a lot of time. I can stop at about 9:05 or 9:10. Okay, for those who really know how to meditate, you just start. I will off the light. English, thank you so much. Then we can have about 20 to 25 minutes of meditation. Then maybe we can start at about 9 or 9:05. So you just do your meditation. For those who are still not clear, I just give you a very simple, condensed reminder so that you know how to remain focused. Meditation is about training our mind to be mindful, to be heedful. If you already train your mind already heedful and mindful, then you just silence everything and stay at the heart. Or if your object of meditation is important, you stay there. Develop mindfulness over it. Then experience the inner peace, inner calmness, inner joy. And then slowly, slowly allow this mindfulness to settle down until it becomes very quiet and very still. For those who have yet to train your mind, you can start with mind sweeping method combined with metta, like I always teach you all. That is to anchor the mind, and you are able to train your mind using the mind sweeping method that will reverse your heedless thinking. In the mind sweeping method, you just relax body and mind, straighten your body, then maintain attention at your forehead. Then you feel, you don't think. As you feel, you don't think, your mind become more quiet, more peaceful. The heedless thinking cannot continue. Then you move it down to your eye muscle. Do the same, feel, relax. Facial muscles, same, every part until leg, then reverse. After a while, you'll be more calm, more peaceful, you don't think. And then after that, you train to stabilize your mind. You can use either anapanasati or any of your skillful means that you are familiar with, like those who do rising falling, you can. Those who do chanting, you also can. Those who do dynamic meditation, you also can use that those technique or method to help anchor your mind, then train your mind. Then you combine with metta, loving kindness. You radiate well-being and loving kindness to yourself, then to all your loved ones, then to all beings. Then you do it with understanding, sincerity and faith. Then from your heart you radiate. Your thoughts will be very wholesome, very beautiful. And this is generosity, and this is very wholesome. You can wish yourself, you feel your entire body and mind be well and happy. May to be free from all suffering, both physical and mental suffering. May to be free from all harm and danger. May its thought process to be without enmity, without ill will and untrouble. May it keep itself happy and peaceful always. May there be love, may there be peace, and may there be joy deep within your hearts. Then you can repeat for other beings, your loved ones, your friend, your neighbor, your colleague, Dhamma friends, and all those that have affinity with you. Okay, I will let you all meditate. Then after that, I will ring the bell. Then we continue second session. Okay. others who already have enough, yeah, you can slowly, mindfully come out of meditation. Yeah. Try to maintain whatever awareness in a peace, in a silence, for as long as you can. Yeah. For those who still want to meditate, you can also continue. Yeah. So that you can make full use of whatever state of mind that you have already developed to help you understand what is going on within your own form and mind, to arise the wisdom or the understanding. The other thing is also, after you have already trained your mind, the next important thing to do is to use this mind state that you have already trained to allow you to develop the meditation as taught by the Buddha. Yeah. You combine these two, mindfulness, to cultivate Noble Eightfold Path, it becomes apamada or heedfulness. Yeah. So the Buddha said, you are heedful, you don't worry. You will definitely become enlightened, because he said, those who are heedful, they never die. So heedfulness is the path to the deathless. The heedful never die, means spiritual life is guaranteed. So not so difficult. Then the essential Dhamma are all on this small whiteboard slanting. So just a quick revision. The first five on the left is the five mental hindrances that hinders you from becoming peaceful. Most living beings that has yet to train their mind, that has to yet to develop the opposite five spiritual faculties, will have this definitely. All five of them. But as you train your mind to develop the opposite five, it will slowly enable you to root out or cease the five hindrances. Because they counter them. So the five spiritual faculties are very unique. We have control. Saddha, Virya, Sati, Samadhi, and Panya. These are in Pali. Equivalent English is, Saddha is faith or confident in the Buddha. Virya is the type of spiritual zeal or tenacity to go this way, because you have understood how special the Buddha is, how wonderful the teaching is. So you are determined to walk this way. That's why you have this type of spiritual energy or tenacity or zeal to move this way. Then when Saddha and Virya is there, you will develop the cultivation of Sati, which is the third spiritual faculty. And Sati is very important. Without Sati, you cannot be heedful. Without Sati, you cannot develop the mindfulness to actually investigate Dhamma. Without Sati, you cannot cultivate the meditation as taught by the Buddha. Without Sati, you cannot cultivate the four foundations of mindfulness. So all this point towards the importance of Sati. Sati is the first factor of enlightenment. So Sati is most important mind state. Then when Sati stabilizes, it becomes Samadhi. Samadhi is not concentration. It is the collected mind that is unwavering. Stability of mind, when Sati accumulates into Samadhi, means it is continuous and very stable, collected. You are not able to disturb it because it's unwavering. So that is the characteristics of Samadhi. Then later on, when you have Sati and Samadhi, you can see things as they are, because Sati is awareness before the knowing. Always remember. I think a lot of people make this mistake, because I heard one of the recorded, I think somebody sent out, I think, don't know from SBS or Nananda or what. You all have your workshop on Satipatthana, remember? I just on. Then I saw this question they asked. you have to be mindful of something. And who is mindful of something? So they say something like that, I think, if I'm not wrong. Mindfulness is a recollection. When you are mindful of something, actually that thing is already past. It's of the past. That's how they define it. But if you truly understand sati, you will know that it's not sati. Sati is just awareness before the knowing. That's why sati can be in the moment. Exact present moment. It's not a recollection. When you are aware, means what? Not a person aware. No. The mind is aware. No. Means the awareness, the essence of mind is already aware or silent. That's why it can be with the moment of contact, moment of consciousness, moment of arising, or whatever thought, perception, feeling, or mind activity. It can be there and that, but before the knowing, before the perception come out, before the labeling, before the words. That is the tea. Means just silent. The moment you are silent, you are aware. When you are aware, it's not a person who is aware. The mind with that nature, the true mind, is aware. And there is no one to be aware. It's just aware. That's why it can be with the moment, with any phenomena, any consciousness that arises, that any movement or stirring from there. It can be one with all phenomena. So that sati is very different. Then when sati and samadhi is so stable, it has clarity. It can see things as they are without the conditioning from your thought, from your views, your opinion. So there is this direct seeing. See things as they are. Then you will understand. Then you will actually awaken to the truth then. The direct seeing will enable you to insight into phenomena without thought. Then the awakening will give rise to understanding, which the Buddha called panya. Panya is wisdom, understanding. Panya is not knowledge. When you understand, it's the full range of understanding, not a particular knowledge. So panya transcend duality. Panya understand things clearly. There is no duality. So when panya arises, samadhi become very different. Samadhi, which is the collectedness of mind and unwearying mind, born of wisdom, become equanimity. The mind is equanimous. No need to have samadhi. That's why when you're very old, when you're physically, you're very weak, you cannot maintain that type of concentration or samadhi. Then very difficult for your mind not to waver, not to stir. Very difficult to maintain the collectedness of mind. Where last time you used this continuous mindfulness, which is samadhi or concentration, to actually stay peaceful, stay calm. But when wisdom is there, you don't need all this. Your mind can naturally become peaceful, calm, still, silent, on its own, through understanding. Then it does not stir anymore. That nature is that nature. The condition arising consciousness is different. They are pure consciousness. They don't grasp. That's why at the moment of sight, seeing, hearing, smell, taste, tactile, or thought consciousness, means at the moment of sense experience, the mind does not stir anymore, does not move anymore. Then it can see things as they are. It can live life. It can experience all of the beauty and wonders of life. It can be with the moment to experience everything that you want to experience and understand. Then you can arise thought. They are all non-grasping. Feeling is not non-grasping. Perception is pure non-grasping. We have no delusion anymore. Then activity of mind, sankhara, mental states are all pure states. Consciousness is pure consciousness. Very beautiful. So all these are possible when you have developed the appropriate meditation. Okay? So the two pair of Dhamma, twin opposite Dhamma, five hindrance and five spiritual faculty we covered. Then the next thing you must know is the three evil roots. The mind state that condition your negative karma, they make you evil. That's why it's called the root of all evil. So you cannot have these evil roots inside your mind state, especially greed, selfishness, lust, craving, covetousness, desire, and all those things. Then the next one is the evil roots of hatred, anger, envy, jealousy, unhappiness, negative emotion, the violent state of mind, and all those things. Then the third one is the evil root of delusion, mainly Sakkaya Ditti, self-delusion. So when you have this, they are the roots of all evil. They make you very evil. That's why you have the tendency to break your precept, cause living being to be harmed, killed. You lie, you cheat, you deceive, you commit sexual misconduct. Then you partake intoxicant that actually condition your consciousness to be very low so that you are prone to make mistakes and become heedless. So all this lead to downfall because you can violate all of your precepts. And this is how your karma will fall. Then if you fail to understand the importance of karma through right view with regard to this law, you will suffer, you will become afflicted, you will become miserable, following Dhammapada verse 1. Then the opposite three wholesome Dhamma that you need to cultivate to overcome this evil root, there are three things. The Buddha called Dana, Sila, Bhavana. Dana is generosity, a generous heart, a kind heart. Not necessarily materialistic giving. When you radiate from your heart, love, metta, well-being, and when you wish people well-being and happiness, that is also dana. Wholesome thought, right thought, beautiful thoughts. Then dana can also be in different form. Give up truth, helping in the process to propagate truth and organize events that leads to understanding or learning of the truth. Help in the printing of Dhamma books that are appropriate. They all constitute dana too. And that one is relatively one of the highest gifts. The other one is gift of life. When you donate blood, when you pledge your organ, your eye, your vital organ upon death, these are all very, very wholesome offering or giving. Then when you have dana parami, you have a lot of merits, a lot of blessings, then you have less problem. Then your condition are better. Then if you keep your sila, which is morality or precept, then it will prepare you a very strong base to develop the cultivation. That's why after dana is sila. Sila is morality or precept. Then bhavana is meditation, training of the mind to develop the appropriate wisdom or understanding to live life. Means to understand the teaching that the Buddha taught, the Dhamma. The essence of it is the Four Noble Truth. Then you complete the three type of wholesome Dhamma that you need to develop. Then after that, when it comes to training the mind, bhavana, meditation, you look at the right side. There are three rules, very simple. First, relax, body and mind, completely relax. Then you need to maintain awareness. So relax, aware. Then train it to develop the stability of it, means 24-hour continuous mindfulness if you can. Or during your waking moments. So relax, aware. These two are very important. Initially, when you want to train your mindfulness using anapanasati, that's why I put aware and just feel around the nostril, the breathing. Then breathing in, the mind is aware. No one to be aware, understand? It's the awareness that is able to be with the breath, that is aware of the breathing. And it can be with the moment, exactly synchronized. Not somebody try to be aware, understand? When you try to be aware, there is a thought, not the awareness. Awareness don't try. Awareness is just essence of mind, just aware. And silent, no thought. Then when it's with the phenomena, it just moves. That's how it can be internally and externally. I find all the explanation a bit funny. So anyway, people have their own understanding. It's okay. Bigger different stage. As you cultivate, you will understand it differently. So try to avoid right or wrong. Then awareness is very important. When you know awareness, it's just mindfulness or awareness before the knowing. Means what? When you just aware, you're silent. Understand? Awareness is silent, actually. The moment you're silent, you can understand a lot of things. So the whole of meditation is don't try to do things. When you're silent, the awareness investigate by itself, understand by itself. Just like some of you at the retreat you went through, especially Amy, Christine, they silence their mind inside the heart there. There is so much clarity, you know, just aware. And they can feel everything, the heartbeat, then how the heartbeat slow down, then whole lot of the bodily vibration, every part of it. Like they know the body is a continuous state of flux. All the cells, everything, there is this pulsation, vibration everywhere. And the heartbeat, everything become like magnified, so clear. They don't need stethoscope, they're just silent. And the energy is so different. There is this clarity, there is this awareness, the essence of mind that is so clear. And that is meditation. When you're silent, no thought, your mind is connected to that inner nature, which is the awareness, which is your true mind, the mind that don't think before the stirring, just the essence of mind that can be aware, no thought, nothing. So that one is most important. So awareness is silent, like the silence between thought. When there is no thought, the space between thought is silent. We have no thought, no chattering, nothing. And that silence is peace, understand? And because it's peace, it leads to tranquility, it leads to stillness of mind. That's why all these words can never describe accurately what that state is until you develop the meditation, until you train your mind to have the ability to have this inner peace born of silence. The moment you don't think, you are already aware. So don't try to be aware. Don't try to do anything. Just silent and let things be and let the mind settle down. Then it will reach the original state of stillness, which is the silent mind. Before the stirring, before your mind stir and become agitated and trigger of the thinking and become heedless, it was peaceful, it was silent, it was stillness. It was just aware, nothing else. So you need to understand this part of the Dhamma. Then when you meditate, it's very easy. So the third note there is expect the mind to wander off at least a million times. But every time it wanders off, bring it back to the breathing. This is to train and anchor your mind. Because those who have yet to train, they have a lot of hindrance. They think a lot. So this mind actually wanders off very fast. Split second is gone, split second is gone. That's why you have to mindfully, patient, just bring it back, aware, 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 until it trains. When it trains, if it's with the moment, means it is aware of your kaya. Your kaya is always in the moment, whether it's the breathing, rising, falling, or your hand movement or any physical phenomena that you arise, that will actually anchor the mind there. Yeah. You only need to be silent. That is aware. The mind is aware of it. Nobody to be aware. Not a person aware. No, not what you think, like a person noting, trying to be aware. No, that is the thought. But when you're just silent, the awareness will be aware. Wherever you locate it, you will be aware of that. Like the breathing, you locate around your nostril, you will detect, they're aware. Then when you put at the heart, it will be aware of the heartbeat, the vibration, everything. Then you put it on your kaya, your form. You will be aware of your form. Then when you're silent, it's a general awareness. Then all your senses are open. Then when you want to be aware of a particular phenomenon, the awareness just moves there and one with it, with the moving car. Yeah. No word, just mind and phenomena as one. That's why you have three types of phenomena. Physical, mental, when your mental flow, your awareness can be with it. Then there is nature's flow, external, nature's phenomena, like moving car, the swing of the tree, the plants, the leaf, everything, the wind, the breeze, the weather, the energy, everything, or sound, vibration, everything. The mind, through the awareness, can be with it, one with it, without thought. The moment thought arises, you are no longer aware. Yeah. That's why you cannot be with the moment anymore. Thought is time, psychological time. So when you use thought to not thought, that is no more sati, no more awareness. Yeah. So this will summarize the essential Dhamma you need. Yeah. So we finish. Now we open up for meditation reporting, Q&A. Or you can ask me anything about the Dhamma if you need me to explain more so that I can have more time to explain to you. Okay? Now we open it up. Anybody want to report their meditation? Oh, Bilan is here. Hey, Sadhu. Oh, she's from Australia. I just came to know her at the retreat. She had a lot of good time there, a lot of joy. Yeah. Sadhu. You want to report your meditation? Other one. Ah, okay. Anybody? Just pass it around. Oh, Brother Tay is here also. Oh, Sadhu. So how was it after the retreat? How you feel? Ah, very good. Be more and more heedful, more and more aware, then less and less thought. To do that, you must straighten your views. Understand? Remember at the retreat, we go through the dependent origination, the dwelling. If you have avijja, ignorant, especially ignorant of the sakkayadity, self-delusion, what happened to you? You think a lot. That's why avijja paccaya sankara. Sankara is mental activity, mental thinking. You make contact, trigger of mental consciousness. That's why sankara paccaya vijñānaṁ. And that is the fine aggregate of form and mind. Because when you input content, it becomes nama rupa. So that link, very fast, already there. And these four, very fast, especially the first two, keep on arising, keep on arising. Avijja paccaya sankara, avijja paccaya sankara. That's why you think a lot, you become heedless. When you straighten your view, you realize a lot of things has already been understood. No need to think. Think also like that. Don't think also like that. If you don't know how to think because you don't have wisdom yet, the user of thought is deluded. What happened? You think the wrong thought. Wrong thought condition your misery, suffering, your fear, your worry, your anxiety, your sorrow and your lamentation. Your delusion, your attachment, everything. So, when you have not straightened your view, your understanding, it's very difficult to arise right thought. When you have this right view straightened, then you will understand more and more. Then a lot of things you know is not worth thinking. Understand? The thing is just the way it is, has to be that way. no amount of thinking is going to help you or improve the condition or situation. Thinking brings forth more emotion, understand? Then the thought has this power to project into the future and trigger fear, worry, anxiety, uncertainty, insecurity. Then thought has the power to recall the fearful past, the unhappy past, the scars of memory that affect your mind state. So when you understand the limitation of thought, the power of thought to divide and cause all this delusion, then you develop the wisdom not to allow it to deceive you anymore. Understand that? Then you can laugh at your habitual tendency. Now no more, you tell the thought. Like Sister Lien Niu, he put a lot of sticker. Thought is the problem, but she cannot do anything to the thought. But at that time, she don't really understand what awareness is, what sati is. You don't fight the thought. So why you don't fight the thought? When you fight means what? You get angry, you want to do something. Who do? The thought do. Understand? Give more energy. That's why you never become peaceful again. That's why the Buddha teach you three ways to overcome, five ways to overcome unwholesome thought, remember? And the third way is the best, the Buddha said. Don't do anything, just silent. And the thought that stir and condition into anger will cease to be on its own when you don't do anything, when you don't feed it with any more thought energy, remember? And then you just stay silent inside away. And then it slow down. Slow down. Then all of a sudden it returns to a natural state. Yeah? Stillness. Like suddenly stop. No sound. Ting. Everything become quiet. And that is the true mind. That is your original state before the stirring. You can have more and more of those moments. You become very peaceful. Very beautiful. Then you have a lot of clarity. You can only do that when you have more and more right view, more and more right understanding. Then you know how to develop the training of the mind to be just silent. No more like before, heedless, think a lot. If you don't get this right, a lot of so-called meditator, cultivator or Buddhist, they get everything confused. We are in this sitting or in the retreat, what they do? They want to meditate. Who meditate? The thought meditate. The thought is actively trying to do, not this, not that. By doing all those things, they think they are meditating. When you do all those things without awareness, you are actually proliferating your thought process. You are getting the thought to become more and more active, and you are giving the thought more and more energy. That's why you think a lot. Then you think you meditate. So then you use your forehead here, the consciousness. You use it to like arise the Dhamma. Then you think this is Dhamma. Oh. Then you say, is this the three characteristics of nature? Is this impermanent? Is this suffering? Is this non-self? Who is saying all these things? The thought, the meditator, understand? And when you are there busy looking at Dhamma through the thought, you can never have the direct seeing to understand thought. When you silent, thought actually become transparent. You see them very clearly. Means you expose them. Only awareness can be aware of them. The thought that is trying to be aware of thought is thought looking at thought. You have never reached the awareness. And without the awareness, energy, which is more intelligent and more fine than thought, you cannot go beyond thought. You cannot understand thought. Thought continue to have power over you. So all this is part of meditation. And what is thought? Like I explained, thought is actually your five mental aggregates of form and mind. Within the consciousness, you input the content, then it becomes thought. Initially, you are the spacious awareness. You just have a general awareness, Then the moment you focus and try to know something or perceive something, you zoom that space, you shrink it. The pure spacious awareness, which is space, you suddenly shrink it, then you create a thought. Then you input with your content, which is your mental intention. Then within the mental intention, you have your delusion, your wrong view. Then all of the seven universes is there. And then feeling immediately conditioned craving. Because when you think, if you don't have right understanding, right view, wisdom, then you will have delusion. So avijja create more sankhara. Then because you have delusion, upon contact, feeling also arise. Then feeling conditioned craving. That's why craving is like and dislike, pleasant and pleasant. You stir your mind, the hindrance all come out, the evil root all come out. And it happens so far, and you don't understand. And the moment you perceive something, your whole awareness is gone. You are lost in thought, preoccupied with what you think and what you see, or what you hear. You cannot be aware anymore. Because you can only do one thing at a time. So this one you have to develop the understanding. Then when you meditate with understanding, the mind is very different. Because mind is very swift. When you're aware, mind can actually be with everything. So meditation become very different when you understand what is the deep, what is awareness. Okay? So that part gave you a revision of what we went through up there. Up there we got whiteboard. We can draw slowly, then you can understand better. Here later, I think they will get the whiteboard. Either we use this one, then we transfer this to another fixed banner somewhere. Then we maybe... only need a stand for this guy so that I can write something on it. Okay, any more question or reporting? You need to ask, otherwise no condition for me to explain. Padmasuri, pass the mic to her. Ellen also sure got on.
Brother Q, yes. Can you please explain to us how can we apply this yoniso manasikara in our daily mindfulness?
Okay. I need to explain this one clearly. You see, yoniso manasikara is a Pali word. Manasikara is attention. Yoniso is wise. Anywhere I can write. No, I rub off Achalo's name first. I use the bottom section. Where's the duster? Never mind, it's okay. Oh, cannot. This one is not whiteboard. That's why this one is like your attachment now. Go in, cannot. The computer, you got a keyboard, delete, chup, memory gone. Oh, this one cannot delete. Your attachment is like that lah, cannot delete one. That one is those who know, those who know that after you delete from the surface, there is a recycle bin that store it. Means what? Your subconscious. You erase from your conscious thought. No more already, gone. But sleep that time, come out from the recycle bin. That is your subconscious. Yes. Yeah.
Actually, this was the thing that struck me when I was at home.
Oh, sadhu.
After I went back from the retreat, I actually stayed, I continued a few days on my own.
Oh, sadhu. At home or?
Yeah, on sadhu. My own. And I got up in the morning, prepared my breakfast the way I always do. And I find that I started to do things very slowly.
Oh, okay. It's okay. Initially, it's okay.
Yeah.
Because you need to slow down the mind and the action to be aware. Initially, you do that. But after a while, when your mindfulness is already there, you don't need to slow down your action. You
then,
only need to slow down your thought.
And then when as I progress in the day, I find that I did on the TV.
Ah, very good. That is the best test.
And then, well, the TV is on, but
yeah.
there is sound, but I don't
yes.
seem to perceive whatever.
It, correct.
Yeah.
Then you just silent, you look.
Yeah.
Oh, totally different.
And,
the totally different type of experience of what seeing is.
And there was one split of a moment when I was actually looking at the TV, it's a news. Okay?
Yes, yes.
And the newscaster was just the image of light.
Correct, correct.
I cannot,
you,
I cannot.
You somehow can have the awareness to see the changing very fast, very fast, like lightning speed.
Yeah, and I
because it's all pixel onto the screen, etc., and come to your eye, etc. And this is what you see, you know, you see images. You never see things as they are. When you see with pure awareness, there is no labeling, no image, nothing.
There is no, I can't
nothing.
Even see
just,
that
just
there is
like,
a person.
Like
just,
the light,
yeah.
ah, very fast moving.
Just that thing only. And
it's,
then
it's like lightning speed. Huh? But you never move on.
Oh.
There is no sound from here. Zzz, don't have also. I have to explain to you. That's why I say, like very far. I was so amazed though, when I look at that thing, 20, 30 years ago. How come TV become like that?
Yeah,
then when I want to know, I can know. No, zoom.
And then the moment I focus, oh, the
ah,
face,
you
the
see
face,
already.
The face
ah,
come out
ah,
it.
Then
ah.
the labor, the thought, everything
yeah.
come out. Ah. Then
the
you can understand
out.
The show already. Ah,
and,
before that, nothing, just
yeah.
the direct seeing. Very different. When you are silent, there is no thought. Then the awareness is aware of everything. The awareness can follow everything, very fast. That's why no such thing as slow only you can be aware of. This is the reality. This is what I saw 20 years ago. That's why how to share all this thing. Nobody can do it. Nobody can see it. And now at least we got one starting to see. Sadhu. Yeah. Because she has a past. Otherwise she cannot do this. And she can understand my talk. That's why she rejoiced a lot and she was there. I say I rejoice too because she definitely have her power. Otherwise, she cannot understand what this type of teaching. Yeah, not easy. Continue.
And then I read your last quote on Krishnamurti.
Oh, very good. Wow, that one.
Wow, it was so beautiful.
Yes.
I then could understand what he said that the space
between thought.
Between the thought.
Yes.
Yeah. And. I said, oh, that is the space within the thought.
Yeah.
And
when you don't arise a thought, there is no thought. You can just be aware. That's why the awareness, no thought on. And the whole of that duration, no thought on. Not to talk about space. No. You can be in that state for very long, I tell you. Just silent, still, aware. We have nobody do it. I cannot explain. No condition. If I explain, you say, cannot liabo kiwa. Cash no fall. And it's a waste of time because people are not ready. Very good. Continue.
And then I went down and lie down in a bed. Suddenly I started to recollect on the Dhamma. And it seems like, wow, the Four Noble Truths. The Eightfold Noble Path, the Dependent Origination, the Factor of Enlightenment, it all just come flashing into
sadhu,
my head.
Sadhu.
It just came flashing
yes.
into my head.
Then you said, suddenly see the beauty of the Dhamma.
Yeah.
Later on, when you connect them, you rejoice a lot more because everything becomes so clear.
It just keeps flashing on my mind, just keep flashing.
It's actually coming back to you. You are inheriting them. When you connect, you inherit. The spiritual nature connect, it inherit. Because she has done it before. A lot of hard work in the past. That's why you think, oh, why very lucky, very fun. Nothing to do with luck. You have means you have. You don't have means you don't have. You have to start now. But not too late. Everybody start from somewhere. You must have the faith, the confidence. That is most important. Yeah.
I reflect on the one experience I had many years ago, which I think I asked Brother Teo about it.
Yes.
And I just try to reflect what the experience is.
Very good. Very good. You can share with them. It's very good.
And at that time, when I first experienced it, I thought there was many mine.
Yeah.
But now that I see it again,
yeah.
there's no many mind.
Yeah, one true mind.
It's one true mind.
Essence of mind.
A mind with many thoughts.
Yes, the thought come out of it. That's why it's a byproduct from that nature. Because you are a human being. What is a human being? It's not you. This one is karmically conditioned out for you to use. You have a physical body that have the five physical senses. Then you have the brain that can allow the consciousness that is trapped inside to use and arise thought. Understand? That's why you have the sixth sense basis. Yeah. Then this sixth sense basis, like the Buddha said, consciousness is what? Analogical to what? Huh? What does the Buddha say? The five aggregate. Consciousness is like what? Magician. You forgot already. Huh? Consciousness is like a magician. No? It creates illusion for you to see. You know? It makes you conscious. No? Every seeing conscious is like illusion. No? Because to you, it's so real. Understand? You open your eye, the seeing conscious, the whole field of vision that you come to experience is so real. Understand? With color some more. And you can knock tangible, solid. Understand? And the world arises already. Understand? But it is just image, you know. Seeing consciousness. You close your eye, all creation gone. Then, where does it go? That's why it's condition arising. Byproduct from your true nature. Without consciousness, all this is not possible. But because of consciousness, it can trigger the mental five aggregate, which is impermanent, lead to suffering if you attach and cling. Then, because it's impermanent and it leads to suffering, it is not you. It is empty. These are the three universal characters. That's why it's condition arising. It's not your true mind. True mind eternally aware. Never change. Never die. Never born. Never get old. And never, never die. Understand? So, when you understand what is true mind and what is mundane mind, condition arising mind, which is the five aggregate of form and mind, then you are not deluded by the five aggregate of form and mind. Because they are condition arising. So how can they be you? The five aggregate, rupa, vedana, sanya, sankara, vijnana. If they are you, every moment they pass away, you die with it. Why don't you die? You didn't die. And you see them come and go, feeling come and go, perception come and go, anasana. Activity of mind, thought come and go, consciousness come and go, mind state come and go. You're still around. Then who are you? What are you? If they are not you, how come they arise in you? Because you all don't have a chance to contemplate, reflect, and understand all these things. That's why you can't understand. So last time she taught many minds. Then now she realized there is only one true mind. Then the rest is the byproduct from the senses, from the sense basis. And that is what Paticca-samuppada is all about.
Yeah,
and
it begins to clear.
Now very clear.
Yeah.
Last time, that's why the thought, you got no power. You know it's the thought, but you cannot get rid of the flow because you don't know what they are, how they come, how they arise. And now everything clear. But there is awareness that have a much higher intelligence and energy level. They are so fine that can see thought. That's why only awareness can see thought. Thought cannot see awareness and herself because thought is a byproduct of awareness. Then like all these external form, which is matter, they are the product of thought. That's why thought can see them. And they cannot see thought because of their intelligence. So all this you will come to know through the meditation. Very good. Sadhu.
And then before I came here, I went to pyramid. The reason why I went to Pyramid is to buy a bottle of essence. Because I'm going to remember when you put the when you burn the thing, I was very
yeah the incense yeah. Yeah, when Padmasuri offer incense to the triple gem.
Huh? So I went and bought a bottle of incense, and yeah. I'm going to tell myself I'm going to burn the incense.
Because yeah, that's why you don't have to fear anything. You have to confront them with understanding and
because
learn.
Now I know it's good. It's not yes. going to affect me.
It will not affect you anymore because when you understand, these are part and parcel of nature's law. Understand? No? It is the phobia, the fear, that trigger of allergy and all those things. Understand? No? Then the body respond and react. But psychologically, if you are stable, then you will understand what is all this and how it come about. Yeah. That's why everything is very, very scientific, very clear. But it's in the spiritual field. So you need the mind to understand all this. It's not theory. Theory, scientists on the five senses together with the thought, enough. Because to understand science, thought is enough. Understand? Huh? Thought is for mechanical thing, technical thing, technical advancement. But thought is not suitable for psychological thing. Understand? Huh? You know what is psychological? Concerning your emotion, your fear, your feeling, all these things. Thought can have no place inside there. If you use thought for psychological, you become cuckoo. You enter Tanjong Rambutan. Because thought is very, very different. Thought create fear. Thought divide. Thought create a lot of division that cause conflict and all things. And thought, because it's egoic, it's limited, it will create selfishness. It will create emotional negativity. It will trigger off fear because of that delusion. Thought is deluded by its own power. Understand? Like power corrupt. Absolutely power corrupt. Absolutely. Thought is the same. Okay, good. Sadhu to you. So that's why we can learn a lot. Eh? We rejoice. Eh? Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu to Sister Lian. Now I come back to Padmasuri. This one is very important. You always hear me say, Yoniso Manasikara. Manasikara is attention. Yoniso is wise. So combine these two words is wise attention at the moment of sense experience. So this is attention. This one is wise. So wise attention at the moment of sense experience. Sense experience is what? You have five physical senses. Then you have the thought as a sixth sense basis. And so every moment of consciousness is one sense experience. And so like when you see something, every moment of seeing, you have the seeing consciousness. And so you experience that seeing consciousness. At the moment of seeing, let's say, this particular lotus flower. How do you see? The moment you see, if you don't have wisdom, yoniso manasikara, you see without yoniso manasikara, then you will end up having the other one. A yoniso manasikara. The Buddha put an A there. This one is not distinction, no. This one is you deluded already. Means, A means you don't have yoniso manasikara. Understand? So, A yoniso manasikara. This yoniso manasikara you cannot learn. Understand? No? You can only awaken to it. When you straighten your view, you awaken to it. Understand? No? When you see things as they are and awaken or insight into phenomena, you develop yoniso manasikara on your own. Because when you awaken, the Dhamma that the Buddha teach, impermanence, suffering, state, and non-self, all of a sudden become very clear. And you understand what? It's applied to all phenomena in this universe, not only to that particular phenomena. Then because of that, you will also connect and link to the dwelling, dependent origination. Why? Because everything is like that. Dependent on this, that arise. Dependent on that, this arise. Without this, this cease. when this sees, that sees, everything sees as well. Then you start to understand, he know me, he know you. That's all. The form and mind also like that. Every phenomenon also like that. That's why the self-delusion is gone. That's all. Through the dependent origination. That's why the three universal characteristics give you a lot of insight. You will see impermanent. You will know that this is conditioned arising, cause of not. But without the 12 link, you cannot understand clearly. That's all. You only know it's conditioned arising. You don't know how your mind works, how it functions. That's why this defilement, the evil root, still got power over you. Understand? You know not real. But how come every time it can do that to you? Understand? So you need to train mindfulness. That's why Noble Eightfold Path until very clear. Then this yoniso manasikara, it will accumulate until there is a type of wisdom, very stable. Then every moment when you have that already, that's why I say you cannot learn or not. You cannot, at the moment of seeing, apply yoniso manasikara. You don't have it, you don't have it. That's why I say, you cannot cut a feeling. Why? Because when you don't have wisdom, feeling will be conditioned into craving. The next thing is automatic. That's why only the enlightened being, the arahant, their feeling are pure feeling. Their aggregates are pure aggregates. No more grasping. No more upadana khandas. And that's how upadana is grasping, clinging, aggregate, because of self-delusion, because of sakayaditi. That's why the final summary of the first Noble Truth, the Buddha said, it is this five aggregate of grasping, upadana khandas, that I call suffering. And now you understand. That's how. Why is it grasping? Because there is delusion, there is sakayaditi, there is avijja. But the moment you insight into phenomena, you awaken to the three characteristics and you see the dependent origination, you're no longer deluded. Avijja, more or less, like rooted out. Especially sakayaditi. So once you have that, whatever you see, even a human being or what, you're no longer like before. Then you know, for my mind, it's just for my mind. Condition arising, cause of life. Even you, this for my mind is not you, condition. And then you no longer yet deceive, understand? That external form loses its power, understand? Form is just form, understand? Rupang anicchang, you remember, Vichan? Remember, up there? All of rupa, form, is impermanent. Off that one. Yeah. Oh, off already, okay. So you see, all of rupa means physical form and external form, they are all impermanent. There's a rupang anicchang. Then the next one, the Buddha say what? Rupang anatta. Remember? Why anatta? This form, table, whiteboard, light, no life. Correct or not? He say anatta. Then why you say non-self? Non-self is just a small part of anatta. Anatta. It applies to living being, the physical body, the first aspect of form. And that one is not self, anasana. The second aspect of anatta is, it's not a permanent, unchanging entity that you can try to own and possess, anasana. And say, this is I, this is mine, this can be mine. And that is the real one. And that one also points towards emptiness. Anatta is emptiness, anasana. Because it's not a permanent, unchanging entity, means what? It can make go. Dependent on condition, it arises. Not real, understand? Dependent on condition, it ceases to be. That's why, ultimately, it's just empty. You are born into this world without anything in there. That's why the Mahayana say, Lai ye kong, understand? Qi ye kong, understand? When you go, you cannot take along anything in there. It's all empty, because they are all not permanent unchanging entity where you can take along. This body also don't belong to you. So how can anything be real? So when you come empty-handed. When you go empty-handed. Then why do you grieve in between over emptiness? Understand? But the Mahayana wordings are very powerful. If you understand, I say, Lai ye kong, qi ye kong, na mo si zu a, 何必苦苦为空流泪的? Why do you grieve in between Over what? Emptiness. Your thoughts say, no, this property mine, they cannot do this. Oh, this house belongs to me. Oh, I, you, me, everything so real. But when the breath stops, everything also not you. Your whole identity is gone. Anasana. Then why are you fighting for? What are you arguing about? Anasana? Then why do you grieve over all these things? When your loved one passed away, when you have separation from something that you own, that you hold on to dearly, why do you grieve? That's all. When you are having a problem, like health problem, how come you have fear, sorrow, lamentation, and you grieve? All this is delusion. That's all. So when you have developed this wisdom, which is not easy to develop, automatically that form and mind will know. When there is yoniso manasikara, the mind does not stir. That's all. But initially, it will come in different phases. As you straighten your view, you understand a little bit, asana. So this yoniso manasikara need not accumulate into a perfect yoniso manasikara, asana. It has some form of understanding, just like Pamasuri at the retreat. He's aware, but cannot do anything. The anger arises already. But at least the dependent origination didn't continue, asana. It didn't become transgression, asana. Upon contact, the conscience arise, then she reacted, then craving come to be. Then before it become grasping, the right view that she has through contemplative wisdom straight away arise. This is craving. This is evil root. We cannot allow it to continue. Then after that, the link stop. That is the beginning. So initially, you know, but it's a knowledge. Not really a wisdom yet. But at least that knowledge is a lot better than before, asana. And because you have developed awareness, asana. But it still arises, asana. So no problem. What did the Buddha say? When it arises, you apply the right effort to abandon it, asana. How to abandon? There are five ways, asana. You clear it. And then next time, when you straighten your view, you contemplate some more, make it more stable. Then tell yourself, I determine not to allow this to arise. So in future, because of your awareness, when you see something, hear something similar, it cannot move anymore. With the awareness, no. When it's aware, you can prevent it from arising. And then this one you realize, didn't stir anymore. Like some of you in the bus, you all share, different already. Then when you develop the silent mind, again different. Because you see in your silent mind how this condition arising state of anger and craving cease to be. Then you realize, like Ingvi went through and Christina went through, they realize these are all condition arising emotion, not the true state. She was very happy, especially when she developed the understanding of silent. All of a sudden, anapanasati, then suddenly the mind go into this silent now. Then she remember what I tell her, go to the heart. Then she went to the heart. Then he heard the heartbeat. No? Then more confident. Then after that, really it slowed down. No? And when it slowed down, that was the strongest faith ever went into her. Then she was full of joy because after that, she really, really experienced the silence that I mentioned during the retreat and many other sharing. That's how it really bring about a lot of joy in her. Then she know meditation is like that. No need to do anything. That's why the third way is just away, silent. Don't try to know, don't try to do anything. Don't try to even investigate that time. The investigation is through sati, which is silent. When you silent, sati understand everything. That is the real investigation. It's either investigate through direct seeing, or silent with the phenomena, with that wrong thought, with that emotion, with that craving, with that fear. Understand? With that emotion. Because they are all condition arising. When condition is there, it's still, then it arises. When condition cease to be, it cease to be. That's why the Satipatthana say, when there is this, what they call chitta nupassana, when there is this greed, the mind is aware, that's it. Then when there is no more greed, the consciousness is free of greed, the mind also must be aware, that's it. Then you understand how it come to be and how it ceases to be. The condition, right? Then the six internal sense bases and six external sense bases will allow you to understand how they come and how they go. And everything is just condition arising. There is no body inside there. And that's not like the physics experiment. Upon contact, the light bulb just light up. You become conscious. And all this is not a theory, you know. You go and meditate, you can understand. And then you understand how form and mind function as a human being. Then you realize this is not you. That's why it's not a theory, you know. Not an idea that you put or implant into your views, you know, and create a new view. No. It's through direct seeing and directly understand that it is like that. And it cannot be otherwise because you saw it in the meditation. You saw it through the silent mind that is aware. So this yoniso manasikara now clear. Don't try to learn. You cultivate the Dhamma. Then you listen to Dhamma. You straighten your view. These are the first two turning. Reflect, contemplate. First is hearing, then straighten your view. Then reflect, contemplate, straighten your view. Understand not? That's what you all do at the reading. Then the third one is the third turning. During the meditation, insight into it, then you awaken. That one become yoniso manasikara straight away. No need to go through the phase by phase of stability or stabilization of it. And then after that, you got no more problem. That everything you see, everything you hear, smell, taste, tactile, feel, or think, the mind is in sati. A yoniso manasikara is there. No more delusion. Then you see things as they are. The mind doesn't stir anymore. Even lightning, there is no more fear. It just went. Stay there. No sound. The awareness just go to the source where it arises. When you are caught unaware by lightning, the fear is where? Always in your heart. You check. And even sometimes, you meditate, and suddenly you got a type of sound. I saw, I just checked. Oh, a lot of them. You can see them, frightened. Why? Because the consciousness is not aware and don't have wisdom. When it don't have wisdom, what happened? This mind, which is the thought, has fear. Fear of what? Fear of the unknown. Because the memory cannot tell what this is. Understand? Understand? Fear of the unknown. Because things that your brain cannot register and understand, it trigger off fear. Like they say, at night, ukui. You cannot understand what is kui, fear already. But when you already know that they are non-human spirit, they don't have a physical form, they cannot do anything to you except when they are angry, they can create a type of energy that is very eerie. Understand? Or sometimes they can force the energy and create some wind or movement. Understand? It's all physics. Understand? But you bending. Understand? You feel the eerie feeling goes around. Then sometimes you hide in the blanket. Understand? They say when you're young, very often, you feel something eerie, like coming after you. You just hide there, I tell you. You can't even talk. And you become like frightened until frozen inside there. When young, that time, I believe most of you went through. True or not? And that fear is very real. Why? Because you cannot understand. That's why people got to on the light to sleep. Light off cannot sleep because they heard some sound. Like Joyce. Joyce is not here. He said the dog howling outside. Then the subconscious straight away must have seen ghosts. Otherwise, it wouldn't howl. And then fear arises. Why do you allow this to happen? Because you're conditioning. You cannot see how you get yourself conditioned into it. Conditioning come about because you cannot understand. The moment you understand, you laugh at it. Because all these are like when you are still a child or children, people tell you certain things. You cannot understand. You got fear. But when you grow up, you say, ah yeah, this guy luan kong wa na sa simply saying, we got like that one because you already educated, na sa na, then you already adult, then you have your understanding. Like last time they say, lightning, God get angry. Oh, you conditioned by then as a science student, you know lightning happen according to nature's law, the physical law. Where got God getting angry that lightning come on us? So you will know that when you have that understanding, even scientifically, you're no more deluded. There is no more fear through lack of understanding. That's why understanding free you, wisdom free you. Okay? So this one clear? Okay. If no more question, we can wait for the next one to report. Alan, next one. Oh, Alan don't have. You have. Good. Good.
It's about Brother Teo's advice for us to observe daily religious routine, which I put into practice immediately I came back.
And very good.
Actually, I was quite struck by. Yeah, actually, it really worked because...
Yeah, it will help you a lot.
Yeah, very mindful.
Yes, and continuity of cultivation, your mind very different. Yes. You settle down very fast. Then right. Every time you meditate, you sit only, you go in already. No need to train. The daily mindfulness is very important. Sadhu to you, very good. Continue, yeah, Ellen.
actually, I used to be quite restless physically. It seems to be rushing here and dashing here and there for no reasons. But lately, I noticed I was quite mindful. Like, hey, I know each time when I step left, right, I'm mindful. Even
yes,
I'm
body and mind as one.
Yeah. And I don't walk so restlessly.
Yes, like last time in a rush and all.
Yeah, thing. Tend to be rushing.
You can go fast, but yet you're aware and you are very calm, very peaceful, very silent. There's a lot of joy. That's why she will start to see the difference very fast. Then later on, when you train until you become very skillful, the whole of your life is different. Everything is like slow motion. No, you can see everything so clearly, and there's so much joy. You know, last time really heedless. You can compare to one. But when you are more and more aware of your movement, body and mind as one, your mind can only do one thing at a time. Remember, when it's aware of your form, it cannot think. If you have more and more moment of awareness on your form, you have less and less heedless thinking. That's how you become more and more heedful. From heedless living, become heedful living. When you are heedful, you seldom think. You are most of the time aware. And without the hindrance, you are so peaceful. The spiritual faculty take over because she has a religious routine now. Every morning, wherever she got time in the afternoon, then in between, daily mindfulness, then at night before she sleeps, she do. That's what I did 20, 30 years ago, 30 years ago actually. Continuously my routine, and even in the office, I continue. Then in my daily life, I continue. I was having a very tough career, not an easy one. I was having a family. Then I was doing my duty. That's how it can be done. It's not to say that you must have time, wait till I retire, wait till I have more time, wait till the condition. This is all procrastination. You don't have to wait till you retire. If you determine to cultivate, you can. But of course, you have too much work, then it takes up too much of your time until you got no time to develop the daily mindfulness. You have yet to stabilize it. Then you have to plan your life, semi-retire or take less thing, have more time to yourself initially. But after you have developed the understanding and this understanding of how to cultivate the daily mindfulness, then you can go back to the working environment to test. No problem. That is the best. Life itself is your best teacher. So always remember, more and more moment of awareness, less and less heedlessness. Then you become more and more peaceful because your spiritual faculty through your religious routine will strengthen your mind. Your faith give you that very strong confidence in yourself, in the Buddha and his teaching, and make you very calm, very composed, full of virya. then your sati make you aware most of the time. When you aware most of the time, you don't think so much, etc. Then when it accumulate and become stable, samadhi, then there is a longer period of space between thought. Then later on, like hardly any thought, etc. Most of the time you aware. At that time you keep on seeing things and you keep on understanding things. You keep on insight into phenomena. You keep on understanding the Dhamma. Anything you hear, if there is truth, anything you read, if there is truth, you will understand, you will awaken. Because the condition is there. You have set the base for all this to happen. That's why, that's why daily religious routine or spiritual cultivation routine is very, very important. Yeah. And you can make it until it is part of your routine. And then your life become different. Then that will be the new way of living, new way of training yourself. Then when you reach a point where you know you have already developed the understanding beyond training, then your routine you can do away if you want to. But if you want to continue to come out and share, you try to maintain for a while. Until you're very sure this one inside cannot shake, cannot move already, you have tested it in the open life itself. And then it's different. Then you can do what you like to do and what you believe should be done. Then life becomes very different. Then everything you come upon, you will see the Dhamma, the truth there. That's why truth is everywhere, in the midst of life and nature, every moment, every instant. Why can't you see? The characteristics of nature are everywhere, everywhere. The Dhamma is everywhere. Why can't you see? Those who see, the enlightened one, they always see. Every moment, every instant. Everywhere. You also have the same senses. But why can't you see? Because you think a lot how to see. You are hardly connected to your nature. You are hardly aware. Without awareness, you cannot see. The real seeing is from your true mind. The mundane mind never see. The mundane mind got a lot of false perception, delusion. You don't see things as they are. You see things as what your mind tell you, your thought tell you. Based on the conditioning, you react to what you see, what you hear. That's why your senses work differently because of delusion. That's why I say, the one who use thought is very important. If that one that use thought still deluded, thought can never be right thought. And consciousness that arise because the user of thought and consciousness is deluded, your life will become entangled. You will suffer. You will always react wrongly. Then you cannot see things as they are. You cannot realize the truth. Then you cannot understand life. Then you don't know how to live. When you cannot understand life, you don't know how to live. You don't know how to be with the moment, to experience all of the beauties and wonders of life. Everything is within the moment. So beautiful, so meaningful, so wonderful. But what you see is suffering. What you see is mental confusion. A lot of life situations. The things that thought create to delude you, to divide, and to create all the conflict, the argument, the war, the misunderstanding, the evil, the fear, worry, anxiety, leading to all the sorrow, lamentation, and all those things. So that is what life is all about. Without wisdom, suffering follows. With wisdom and understanding, life becomes different, beautiful, meaningful. So you have to make that choice. Your life, you decide. Even though it's just for my mind, not real, but every time you come there for my mind, miserable, you know. There is real mental suffering in this world, you know. Because to the deluded one, that is very real. To the enlightened one, is everything not real. But they don't have to experience those things. They know their characteristic inside out. So form and the aggregate of mind got no more power over them, cannot delude them anymore. And they can just play with them and use them. as a tool for them to live. That's why it's so beautiful. I can use, and yet not me. You know, I don't have to worry about this body getting old, getting sick and die. But I use it whenever I want to, you know, to experience the world, to do what I want to do, understand? To learn things, to actually use it for whatever that I want to experience and understand. So it's very, very beautiful. This form of mind, when you understand, you will really, really appreciate. And there is so much joy. And life becomes so meaningful, so wonderful. Okay? 15 more minutes. Any more meditation reporting? Selina, she at the retreat asked quite a bit of questions. You want to report your meditation or you got anything to ask? Use the mic, yes.
Hello, Brother Chiu. After I came back from the retreat, I did try to follow to, in the morning wake up.
Have a religious routine. Okay, very good.
Do my prayers.
You do your prayer, but most important thing is you pay respect as a bow. Bow more. Then after that, do your salutation as a. Yeah, these are very meritorious. Then renew your precept. Determine to take your refuge. Build up your spiritual faculty. And when you do that mindfully, you start your day beautifully. You just go and try. That 15-20 minutes of religious routine or meditation is so different to you. Well, I remember during the early day when I do that. After that, like what Alan went through, you become so mindful of everything. Very different. The way you walk, the way you go and move around and understand things is so dear. Your mind has clarity. There is this type of peace and silence. When you do it until it becomes very, very habitual, this new habit take over, then this routine will make you heedful, aware, most of the time. Then you become very different.
I realize that I meet more mindful in the sense that normally last time I don't know where I put my spec.
You cannot remember. Now you aware. When you are aware, you can recall or recollect. That one is true. But mindfulness is not about recollection. Because you are mindful at that moment over the activity, your mind can recall. Because you aware through what? Through the awareness. And the awareness with the brain can register the whole movement. You will recall the whole movement. How your hand with the speck, how it go, and how you place it, you will know. And you know exactly where that plane thing is. Because when you are aware, you are not distracted by thought. What you all do is, as you put your spec, you think. You never aware. That's why you never recollect. And you never know where that spec is. Every time you got to look for your key. You want to go office? No spec. very good. At least the first step.
I know where I put.
You have to silent and see how your hand move. That's the awareness is the awareness of that movement. Not trying to know, no, understand? Then the mind and the hand, no word, nothing. Just mind and movement as one. Then how it hold, that feeling you will feel. Then how you take it up, the fully aware, that you can have a look. Through the awareness of it, then you want to perceive, okay, this is speck. Purse also same. Then where you put? Then you make a note, because you want to recall, but you do it with awareness. And because of that, the whole flow and the movement, the memory record, because you are not thinking at that time. You are fully aware. And when you do things without thought, most of the time, your life is so different. You conserve so much energy. You know thought is draining your energy. You think a lot, you're very tired or not. When you study a lot also, you very tired, you need a lot of food on you. Now you know, last time exam, I remember, half boiled egg, then chop fun, ka fun, also done enough, eat supper some more, and never grow fat on you. Very slim. Why? Because you thought, you use thought, you concentrate, you try to remember, recall a lot of memory, then a lot of what they call studying through thought, understand? Because you have to reason, logic and all things, then maths and all things, you have to do all this thought-based type of mechanical things. So that one take up a lot of mental energy. And mental energy come from your physical energy. So you got not enough food, you will have problem. That's why you must have enough food. Then during the later meditation, when you go to your nature, remember to eat. Don't be foolish. When your body needs food, you go and eat. But that time you need a lot of energy. Oh, that time you ask my wife, middle of the night I'm hungry. I go down and look for things and I know what I want to eat. The body knows. And during that time, you eat a lot. You draw a lot of energy also from nature itself also. Then you need your physical energy. So meditation is like the Buddha came to know middle path. He need food. That's why Sujata offer mok rice. He start to eat again. Otherwise he cannot. He need a lot of what they call this physical energy. You have to convert into mental energy. Then it go into the nature and transform into pure energy. And all this need energy. Then of course it also draw from nature. Nature's energy. Then nature got a lot of energy. They got all the various physical energy, gravitational energy, planetary energy. Then you got also the Bodhisattva, the Buddha, all they have their nature. And the energy is everywhere. And you can draw, But you can only draw when you are silent. Because those type of energy are beyond thought, beyond mind. You have to be completely silent. Then only you can draw. Then you must have affinity with them, understand? But the moment you have this perfection and wisdom, you will tap and you will draw, and your vow will take you, understand? That's why your aspiration, your vow are very important. So all this is part and parcel of cultivation. As you move, there is a lot more. That's why as now more and more people do, there is more and more condition. Then I can share all this higher understanding that last time cannot come out. That's why, just like the Buddha said, what I came to understand is really like the leaf in the forest. But the four noble truths, the essential Dhamma that the Buddha shared with you all and what I shared with you all earlier, was just a handful. As you move on, there is so much more understanding. But they are not important. They are only important for those who go the finale, the grand finale. Means you want to become Sammasambuddha. Then those are important. But for enlightenment, no, just a handful of it is enough. Really, it's enough. Okay? Another 7-8 minutes. Any more report? Continue, yes.
Brother, I want to ask you, because at one time I was doing the meditation.
Yes.
I feel that my whole face and the body part here is a lot of sensation.
Tingling.
Something like poking.
Yeah.
Is it one of the mental hindrances?
No. You mean poking?
Yeah.
But it's like tingling one actually. It come and go, come and go one. It's actually a type of pity, understand? A type of pity actually. It's not a hindrance, understand? You just continue to relax and say, because when your mind tries to calm down, it will go through that phase, understand? The mind state that tries to calm down will go through that phase of pity, understand? When you are more and more aware without thought, pity will arise, understand? Pity is a type of spiritual rapture, understand? That's how you can create this phenomenon, understand? Different people, different, understand? Then sometimes it's like tinkling sensation. Then later you go into sukha, it's even more refined. Understand? Blissful, very blissful. Blissful until, you really like whole body engulfed with that bliss. No, I tell you, it's really blissful. Like immersed in you. There is so much bliss inside there. That sukha, you can get that one. Then later on, it transforms into pasati. That time, different again. Pasati, no more of this bliss, no more of this pity. It's just stillness, tranquility. Then totally no thought, no sound. the whole mind still. Oh, that one is the best. Because in my past, I did that a lot. That's why my mind straight away connect back to the nature and silenced. Then after that, my breathing, everything become very still. Then like no breath, no thought, nothing. Then later on, it go into cessation by itself. Because you have to have wisdom to reach that state. Okay? So all these are possible. I forgot you. Yeah, very good.
Just yeah. Little things to share. I bought 6 trays of strawberries.
Oh,
so
yes.
I brought 4 to my office.
Oh.
I have this one quite unfriendly colleague.
So oh.
He's a man. I'm working in a Malay environment.
Yeah,
so
yeah. Government
I can't
department.
Offer
yeah.
much except fruit.
Correct,
to
correct.
Them.
Mm. They won't halal.
They won't take
other thing. Because they scared not halal.
He is in my unit, so I put one unit, one tray. Like the other one, I keep for my pengarah. So I put near my the other Malay ladies colleague.
Yeah.
Because her table is quite centralized.
Ah, okay.
Usually they want to chit chat.
Correct. They will go there.
Go to their her place.
Okay. Yeah.
So happened. This colleague of mine, he went into the storeroom.
Ah.
The storeroom just next to my table.
Ah.
So I saw him without thinking, without just impromptu, I just go to him.
Yeah.
I said, IWE sedikit strawberry. Nanti ni lah jemput makan.
Ah, jemput makan.
Jemput makan sikit. And then he just said, become
friendly. Yes.
And then after that, I just go off lah. After that, I think back. Well, if I were to think before I ask him, I won't do it already.
Spontaneous.
I just go to him.
Then because the condition is there, and this is what they call sincerity, understand? And the mind that is more and more mindful is very different. It's sensitive and it understands. Then it know what to do. You no need to like before think and plan how to speak, how to talk. No need one. That one is unnatural. Understand? That one is the thought teaching you what to do. You know? You still believe the thought. I wish you luck. Your thought is egoic. Understand? Try to what? Try to be nice. Try to be friendly. Who is trying? The thought is trying. Means it's not from your heart, not through an understanding. When you understand, you just spontaneously act. If you need to apologize, you say, just now I was really, really sorry. I didn't know it can cause you so much misunderstanding and all those things. I would like to ask for forgiveness. And Malay like it. The moment you ask for ampun, forgive, they will say, tak apalah, you say, saya pun ada salah. Oh, then they will be very happy. That's why these are what they call right speech, understand? And it will come naturally, understand? Of course, initially you need effort to train, understand? Because you are very crude. But when you train until it become a part of you, there is no more training, understand? It just come out by itself, understand? Then you will just know what to do, and you will come out with your own way. Good, Sato.
He just acknowledged me and that's
all. Yeah, very good.
Then today, I think I misprint his red color paper in the machine. And I just apologize to him. He doesn't mind. He just treat me normal.
Because
last time, I don't know, out of nowhere, no reason, he just refused to talk to me.
Oh, yes.
So
sometimes colleague is like that, yeah. Because they can feel it. They feel it because they have this misconception of who you are and what you are. Then when they have this negative perception of you, they don't want to talk to you. Understand?
I suspect last time he thought I gave him the annual appraisers.
Correct.
Which is not done by me,
misunderstanding.
Superior. Maybe after some time he already found out.
Then misunderstanding no more.
Since I made the first move
Tuesday,
so maybe no more misunderstanding.
It's like the ice broken, understand? Then after that, you will come to realize they become very friendly. When they are very friendly, they are very different, actually. They are very helpful, very, very helpful. That's why Noble Eightfold Path is about learning how to live life, understand, with the right thought, leading to right speech, right action, and right livelihood. And all this can be possible if you have right understanding or right view. Okay? That one is very important.
What I want to add in a bit is that
yes.
When he acknowledged my asking him to share some strawberries, I think that time
there's a lot of joy, yeah?
Not much joy.
Just aware.
After that, only I felt joy. How come he's so friendly?
When you recollect.
During that time, I just aware and I didn't realize anything. When I walked back to my place,
you will recollect.
It's so pleasant. So I think the awareness training in a retreat helped a lot.
So that
I don't go through so much thinking, precaution.
Correct. So that you do things with awareness and heedfulness, you are very spontaneous. You got nothing to hide. And the awareness will flow and echo with everything. And there is just this kindness, this goodness in you. And the heart that has Dhamma is full of virtue. Like we go through. You want to know what is virtue, you ask Sister Lian. She got a book on virtue. Yeah, you can pass to them. No problem, sadhu. Then I look through, I can share with them. These are very important quality. You want to know whether you progress along the path of Dhamma already? You check with how much virtue you have, not how much ego you have. Then if you can live your life with more and more of this virtue, you become beautiful. Then you are destined for enlightenment. When you have virtue, means you have a lot of kindness, goodness, gentleness, all the good mental state like gratitude, contentment, generosity, sincerity, truthfulness, then love, compassion. Then you also have a lot of very, very good virtue and mind state that you yourself also never believe you can have. Like humility, respect for people, for elders, then respect for the worthy ones and all those things. Okay, we better end 10:30. So I rejoice. Sadhu, 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 sadhu. Now you can see the difference after the retreat. Those people who have the what they call the condition, the confidence, the faith, they come back. They change. And this is what the real proper retreat should be. When you do with understanding, it strengthens your faith and it develops the correct type of daily life meditation that will allow you to take that retreat's meditation training back to good use. It is the one that allow you to go back into life and live using that understanding, using that mindfulness, the heedfulness in daily life, that is the real meditation. The retreat is just developing the understanding and the training. Then after that, you have to come back to apply all this to live. Daily mindfulness is the real meditation. Otherwise, you cannot see your defilement. Otherwise, you cannot be tested. Otherwise, you cannot cultivate the real noble evil path. Otherwise, you cannot know whether you are heedful or heedless. All this will come about through mindfulness. That's why mindfulness will clear everything and allow you to understand and see everything. Not from the thought. Okay? So we will do the sharing of merit, transfer of merit. Then you make your aspiration. Share your merit with the devas. Akasatta ca bhumata devanaga mahindika punyang tang anumoditwa jirang rakantu loka sasana. May all beings inhabiting space and earth, devas and nagas of mighty power, share these merits and may they long protect the dispensation. Tawata jammehi sampadan punya sampadan sabbe deva anamodantu sabbasampati siddhya. May all beings share these merits which we have thus acquired, and may all devas rejoice, and may it contribute greatly to their well-being and happiness. Okay, transfer all merits to departed ones and those who can receive them. Idang menya tinang hotu sukita hontunya tayo. Idang menya tinang hotu sukita hontunya tayo. Idang menya tinang hotu sukita hontunya tayo. Let this marriage accrue to our departed relatives and all those who can receive them, and may they all to be well and happy always. Okay, we will invoke the blessing for the nation. Devo vasatu kalena sasa sampati hito cha vitto bhavat loko cha raja bhavat dhammiko. May the rain fall in due season, and may there be a rich and good harvest throughout. May the world be peaceful and prosperous always. May the government of the day, the king and the rulers, be righteous. Okay, you make your aspiration. Ipmina punyang kamina mame bala samagamo satang samagamo hotu yawan nivana patiya. By the grace of this marriage that we have thus acquired, may we never follow the foolish, but only the wise and enlightened one until Nibbana is realized. Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. Okay, pay respect mindfully to Lord Buddha, then we end. After remind me to share one more thing with you all, I forgot. Because Brother Kang called me this morning. Okay. Okay, just a quick one. For those who went for the retreat, you remember? The second last day. We were bidding farewell to Brother Kang, Mrs. G, and Christina. You know what happened to them? He said, luckily, we chant that special sutta for them, you know, the protection one. Remember? We evoke the triple gem. I never chant that sutta one. Remember? Sabbe tiyo yuajantu sabvarogo vinasatu mate bawa tantrayo suki digayo. Then, bhavatu sabba mangalang rakkantu sabba devata sabba buddhanu bhavena. Then you repeat. Soti bhavantu te. Then you repeat for Dhamma Sangha. By the protection of the Triple Gem. No? He called me and thanked me. You know? He said, luckily you chant that sutta for us. You know what happened? No? Before they left, he went into the toilet. He got this, what they call, tendon in the leg. He was having problem, remember, swelling, very painful. Then the tendon tear, no? Totally cannot move, no? Cannot even bend. No? I tell you, he had been driving, finish already. Raining some more, you ask Christina. Then they waited 1 hour. Somebody told me they waited for the rain to stop. No, they waited for him to heal. Cannot heal. Oh, the tendon, very slow to recover. Then luckily, Christina is not supposed to join them. Somehow my wife said, you going back to Tola Anson, is it? He said, you can follow Brother Kang there. And then you remember before they left, he said, you cannot drive, let Christina drive. She's a very good driver. Luckily she took over. No? Because that winding stretch, that Ponchi cannot drive. He can only drive highway, so straight on. So luckily reached the foothill, then only Ponchi took over. Then they drove back to Penang. No? So at Penang, Ponchi is supposed to go down because the husband, the children, all there waiting for her. Then Brother Kang cannot drive. No? So he said, oh, I might as well go Penang. So when he go to Penang, the son called up. No, the son was in Penang. No? You see, he was so lucky. No? Then the son drove him back to Alastar. Then he see the specialist. That's why this morning he called me. He was very happy. He said, I'm now okay. He said, thank you so much. Otherwise, he don't know what will happen. You know? The rain was very heavy. That's why a lot of these things, I also don't know. somehow the nature say, I have to chant that for them. Then I think up there also send the same message down. Then I go and open up the Pokhara, that Chandimo. Then I never chant that one or no. Oh, that day only. Of the 9 day, only that day we chant. Invoke the protection of the triple. Well, they have been there 8 days. Their merit is also there. Then when you have these blessings, they have effect to protect them. And I think up there, the being also helped. So that's why he was full of gratitude. And the wife also wrote me an email. So that's why you have faith in the triple gem. You will be very well protected. Because you every time share merits and transfer merits to them. Then it is a good synergy. They are Dhamma protectors. They protect the cultivator of the way because you are part of the sasana. That's why you chant Akasata Bhumata Devanaga Mahindika. You know what is Devanaga Mahindika? Devas and Nagas of mighty power, no? Not the normal Devas and Naga. No? May they rejoice in all this wholesomeness and may they long protect the dispensation. So the sasana, if they want to protect, they will protect you because you are part of the sasana. You walk the path of Dhamma. You actually continue the tradition of the sasana. So this is the only thing I want to share. Let us rejoice. Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. Okay, thank you so much. Good night.